Steve, you've had some business to do today. Johnson Clark Harris has moved out to the club on loan, and Matt Sadler as well. Just talk us through those two deals.
Well, firstly, John was a young man. He's gone out on a youth loan. That probably tells you something. A bit like when we brought Faz in, it was a youth loan. Well, he's a kid. And he's been in my door most days since he come back from MK, asking to play football and expecting and demanding, if you like. But I love him for that. And he's had some options in the last few days to consider. He's chosen Doncaster Rovers at a 2 or 3 year challenging for that playoff fight in League One. I think he's chosen wisely. He's joined a good manager. He's joined a good football club that are in good form. And I think he'll add something that they've not got.
Do you think it's a good thing then that he's joining a team that is, you know, the season's not petered out at Doncaster? They're not just sat in mid-table, they've actually got something to play for.
Well, I wouldn't have put him out to a club like that. I wouldn't have put him out to a club that says we're going to chop and change and see where we're going next season. That's not what the development of Johnson Clark Harris is about. Hence why we've allowed that loan deal to go to the end of May, which would cover Doncaster Rovers in the event that hopefully they are in the playoff final. They're a local rival to us, but they're a South Yorkshire club. Are they South Yorkshire? I think they are. And we want them to be successful in that, right? So we've covered that. But we've also covered Rotherham United. We're his employer. We're the people that paid for him. Our chairman did. And we sit there and say, well, we've got a 28-day recall. So if we need Johnson Clark Harris back in our domain, in our fight, or if it's petered out at Doncaster, we'd bring him back anyway. But as long as John is doing well and as long as Paul Dicker wants to keep him well and we're doing all right, we'll let him play his football.
As he heads out to Doncaster, have you said to him about anything you want in particular him to work on during this loan?
Well, I want him to work in hard and getting in the team. He went down to MK Dons. We put up certain promises to him that he would play, and perhaps that lost his edge a little bit. So I said to him, me and Paul Dickoff is a bit like Steve Evans in the sense that he'll pick him if he deserves to play. So he has to go there and make a statement and show the type of player that why everyone, not everyone, but a lot of clubs in the Championship wanted Jono when he was available last time he was in League One regularly. So he gets an opportunity to go to Doncaster and a team that's making lots of chances, that's playing the right way, and I know a lot of the players will embrace him.
And Sadler to Oldham?
Yeah, that was quite simple. Again, Matt had a choice in the last 3-4 weeks, a little bit longer than Jono, where he had the option of joining different clubs in League One. But Matt is obviously looking towards next season now, as you'd imagine. And so he gets the opportunity to join a club where that's an option for him if he does well.
What's the situation with Zeki Friars and his loan spell, Steve?
Well, he's here, as you know, until I think it's after the Sheffield Wednesday match and International Week. Then we get the option to sit down with Crystal Palace and make a decision. First and foremost, Zeki has to talk to Palace and see what they'd like to do, and then we'll talk to Zeki and then we'll talk to Palace. That's just simply how it works.
A key victory at Huddersfield. Just how big was that win, do you think?
Well, it was a big win because it was the last one, wasn't it? But it was, for obvious reasons, after a poor result against Cardiff the previous midweek, it was essential that we went away and we didn't concede. And it was essential that we added a point, if not three. And we were always confident we could do that if we got the plan of action right, and players win matches, players lose matches. They deserve all the credit they get for last week. It was the best away performance of the season.
You've absolutely nailed the we're just going to stay in the moment manager answer now, Steve. I just wonder though, you know, given how tough it is to survive in this division as a team and has won back-to-back promotions, it is more than just a win because it's the last one, isn't it? You're 9 points above the bottom three now. You're in a very strong position because of that victory.
Well, I'll be happy if we're 9 points above the bottom three on Saturday night, as a minimum. You know, I'll be happier if it's 12. But, you know, it's tough in the Championship where every mistake you tend to feel you make gets punished, where you play against some serious clubs and players. But we're embracing this. We love this. I'm getting to the stage now. I don't really care whether it's Derby or it's Wigan. It makes no difference to me. It's a big team that turns up. It's a big team that we travel to, and we get the opportunity for our players to prove a point, and it's a bit proving points rather than talking about it. There's a big difference.
Arnesen got rave reviews for his display, so do you keep him in that position now, or what are you going to do with him, do you think?
Well, Arnesen is a good player in central midfield. He's a good player at centre-back. It may be for Wigan he's not as advanced as he was against Huddersfield. We put him in that position on Saturday to do a specific job, which Arne carried out to the tee and got a goal as well, so that's a boost. But it may be that he's not in that area on Saturday, but I'll sit with my staff nearer Friday evening than now in deciding what formation we're going to play and what formation we'll dictate where Carey plays.
Are you going to have Craig Morgan for this game?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully we'll have Craig. Hopefully we'll have Wardy. Hopefully we'll have Greeny. We'll certainly have Adam Hamill. All lads are back in training, some with the group, some on the verge of the group. But as you know and I know, it's Friday before we like to see them all 100%. And if they're 100%, we get a clean piece of paper to pick a team.
Have you also had to monitor the fitness of Connor Salmon recently?
Yeah, Connor's had a couple of little groin issues that have enabled me to, made me put him on the bench in recent games. And then he had a full week's training where he was feeling really good prior to Huddersfield. And that made my decision easy. When Connor's fully fit, he's a handful. And he'd done a specific job for us on the right-hand side on Saturday, but he could do that job again if required. He could do the equal job on the left. He's done it very successfully at Derby. He's done it very successfully at Ipswich Town, and he'll do it very successfully here, whether that be right, left, or indeed up two with Darbs as a two.
How has Richard Wood done on his loan spell, and is he a player who will eventually come back into the squad and just give you that extra bit of depth maybe to finish the season?
Oh yeah, Richard's been outstanding at Crawley, and that's not just the reports from Dean Saunders, but we had him independently reviewed on Saturday, and the biggest compliment you can give Richard Wood is Abraham's in a guard, don't get a kick. So he's done his job very, very well, but you know, he's loaned with Crawley's up on the 28th, just as we're about to have a two-week break internationally, of course. So it may be that we extend Richard there for a 10-day period or so, you know, before we bring him back into the fold, just so he gets another game or two. But Richard Woods is coming back in here for the last part of the season, that's for sure.
Hmm. When you look at the context of the season, just what was that as good a performance as you've had, do you think, at Huddersfield? Was it as a complete performance, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's a good word. I think it was complete. I think if you take away one early half chance to Huddersfield, other than that, we've been dominant in winning the ball. We've been dominant in passing the ball well, and we've been the dominant side making chances. Our professionalism when we went down to 10 men was top class. We put people in boxes and asked them to do the job, and they've done it as good as we could and as we could expect them to do. Delighted with the performance. More importantly, delighted with the result. This is the results part of the season that counts now, isn't it? And obviously continues into Saturday.
Given that you've gone away from home and had that kind of performance, it's not been at the New York Stadium in front of a packed home crowd. What does it say about the progression of this team since January?
Well, I think there's been significant progression. You know, we just touched on there. I watched Bolton Wanderers lost to a 94th minute goal at Blackburn last night. And it's only when I get back in the car I realise there's a point difference between the clubs. Mm. And I think at one point that gap was 10, maybe 10, 11, 12 points. I'm not completely sure, but it was of that ilk. And it shows you what we've had to do to claw back others. But we can't be finished on that. You know, we've got the likes of Bolton Wanderers and Fulham and Cardiff and three or four others all within our sights. But we have to forget their results because we can't affect their results. We can only affect what we do. And if we look after ourselves and have our performances much more like Huddersfield than most of the other games in recent times, then we'll be fine.
Despite the fact that you've not got the biggest squad, and we've talked about that a fair bit, since the turn of the year, you know, if the season had started in January, for example, do you think you'd be actually a team that is looking at a top half finish here?
I think it even might be better than top half, as you know. You've done the numbers. I think we would be saying we're ready to kick on. But we've had a lot of learning to do in this league. And you have to learn, and you have to learn quickly, and then you have to implement certain things and strategies and playing systems and all sorts. And so we're learning. As a management team, we're learning. As players, we're learning. As a chairman, we're learning. We'd never hide from that. But once you learn, you're a pretty vicious animal the following season, I think, if you learn properly. You're only a really weak animal if you hang on with your fingertips. We have to do more than hang on to the championship by our fingertips. We'd take it, but we have to do more.
I was going to come on to that because it does set you up for next year, doesn't it? Provided you finish this season as you intend and finish it in the right way, the lessons you've learned, the experience you've garnered about your players and about your squad could set you up for next year, couldn't it?
Well, I think it does. It gives you a great platform. And we're going to have to build a platform, aren't we? In South Yorkshire alone, we're going to have Sheffield Wednesday reportedly spending up to £50 million, you know, trying to buy Jordan Rhodes. It's unthinkable before the guys from overseas arrive. So we're going to have to be very good in whatever we do in the summer, just to even match what's happening in South Yorkshire, if we're going to match the big chipbook. So we're going to have to be good at that. But we're going to have to be good in a league that evidently will get stronger if we can conceive or we can think that perhaps the Championship will be adding the likes of Queen's Park Rangers, Burnley and Leicester City and Bristol City below, who already have a top, probably 10, top 8 Championship budget already, then it shows you how tough it's going to be for us.
If you win this game, do you think you'll be safe?
It's a big call to say if we win one game, we'll be safe. I think it would go a long way to showing that we've got a points difference that's going to be hard to peg us back. Because the one thing about these players, and they're a confident group and they like to be in a confident frame. And we took the shackles off them in the game recently. And apart from a 20-minute poor spell against Cardiff, we individual errors littered through it, then these boys have been good for us. And so let's get the individual errors put to one side and let's have a good win on Saturday and then look forward to play Nottingham Forest, followed by Sheffield Wednesday. How good's the Championship if you're a Miller?
It's a big game's coming up. Do you think that this match compares to the Millwall game? Is it quite as intense as that? Because we're just an atmosphere through it that both sides were so desperate to win that match. Do you think we're going to see something similar in this one?
Yeah, I do. You certainly get two managers that will be desperate to win. They'll head and kick every ball, me and Big Malky. And as long as we don't head and kick each other, he's 6'4". But yeah, we'll certainly be desperate to win. Our players will know the importance of it. So will Wigan players. Wigan is full of talented players. I watched a DVD yesterday of their loss to Leeds United, and there's only the guy that's probably filming that knows why it's not been a 3 or 4 win victory to Wigan. I think even the Leeds United people know that.
What do you make about, obviously Dave Whelan has left the club, they're now going to have a 23-year-old chairman. Do you imagine having a 23-year-old boss, do you?
Well, he's obviously an intelligent young man, isn't it? I read some of the things online about what he's managed to do, and I think he was saying he was down at Oxford University, so that gives him about 20 more degrees than me. Listen, I think he's come from the Whelan family, who have come from the Whelan stock. You've watched a granddad who started off with nothing as a footballer, who came out of football and made multi-million pounds, almost billionaire, if you like, by being so successful. Well, grandson is a wonderful master to learn from. And I think it's a sad day that Dave Whelan stepped down. Mr. Whelan have made those decisions for himself, but he leaves his grandson in a wonderful position, doesn't he?
Why do you think they've struggled? They're not the first team to come down, and you can look at Fulham as well as another example of a team with big money that has not performed at this level. Why do you think that Wigan in particular have struggled this year?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know what happens inside the Wigan camp. I think when everyone's seen what Uwe Rosler had available to him at the start of the season, everyone had Wigan to be in the playoffs, Uwe himself. And I know from speaking to Uwe, he couldn't believe some of the things that was or mistakes, individual errors, etc., that it was costing him. And then when they bring Malky in, everyone expects this upsurging results, don't they, with the talented players they've got, and it's just not happened for them. But as every footballer club will tell you, when Sheffield Wednesday got relegated down to League One, or the Millers got relegated down 2 levels from the Championship, sometimes you just can't put your finger on it, and there's no rationale as to why it happens when you look at the squad on paper. But I'm not really interested in Wigan Athletic and what their issues are. I've got no rights to be interested. I'm only interested that they leave here with no points on Saturday.